1 minute to intercept.
On the video screen, an icon blinked ever closer to the central target. Travis smiled and leaned back in his chair. He knew that once the Liberator entered the crosshair, it was in the range of their plasma bolts, and he would give the command to fire. Blake didn't stand a chance. Yet, it didn't feel personal, certainly not personal enough for him. A battle on this scale meant everything was reduced to markers on a screen. It was like they were playing a game, not conducting a full-scale military operation. He would have preferred to face off against Blake in person. He wanted the satisfaction of seeing him dead at his feet. Travis often fantasized about the rebel. His rest periods were disturbed by thoughts of killing him. He would conjure up several mock encounters, most ending with a dead Blake. Then his mind would play tricks, and somehow Blake would escape his fate. Even if he managed to drift off to sleep, Blake would enter his dreams, coming back as a ghost to mock him, tormenting him with his failure. He would wake in a cold sweat from these night terrors. He could never truly win. During his rehabilitation, Travis had seen the best Federation doctors and psychoanalysts. They spoke of the stresses of command, how this treatment or that therapy would cure him. But nothing had washed away the trauma in his mind. They might have patched up his eye and replaced his missing arm, but they couldn't heal his mental scars. He looked down at his hands, one flesh, one mechanical. It was Blake who had caused his injuries. Now he was desperate to even the score. The very thought of Blake, smugly in command of the most powerful spacecraft known to humanity, filled him with anger. You are under pressure. Travis clenched the good hand and vented his frustration by slamming it hard on his chair rest. 45 seconds to intercept. Servalan had given him command of the elite Omega Squadron. These state-of-the-art pursuit ships boasted stealth capabilities, and the Liberator would be the first to taste their awesome firepower. Based on previous encounters, calculations had been made by the battle computers, and the probability of victory was high. Liberator might outmatch one or two of these new ships, but not a combined attack. He had requested mutoids for his crew. He wasn't prejudiced against them like other officers he served with. Being part machine himself provided a certain empathy. He admired their lack of emotion, and their inability to disobey a direct order made them perfect for suicide missions. Regular troopers were, in his opinion, unreliable in combat situations. If you ordered them to do something that went against their conscience, they would sometimes hesitate, and in a life-and-death situation, that got you killed. This made them fit only for guard duties or patrolling hostile areas. He wouldn't use them for anything else. Officers were no better. Most were sycophants, trying to please their superiors, too busy bowing and scraping every time he issued an order. The rest? Glory hunters, getting themselves killed in gruesome ways as they tried their damned hardest to impress him. He couldn't stand either. Both were a liability, hence his preference to command alone. Add in the problem of corruption, and it wasn't surprising mutoids were always his first and only choice. It was common for troopers and their officers to take a bribe and look the other way, or to participate willingly in criminal undertakings. In the short term, they became wealthy, but in the long term, it always ended badly for them. Travis had read reports of whole platoons being executed for dereliction of duty because they wanted wealth and power, or dying at the hands of rival criminal factions. A traitor's death, and what they deserved. In his experience, it only took one man or woman to falter, and you'd lost a good platoon. That's why he never picked regular troopers for his missions. Mutoids, despite originally being fully human, seemed, as far as he could tell, to to have had their conscience brainwashed out of them during the processing stage. A few people volunteered to be transformed, but the vast majority were criminals and deserters, reconditioned and repurposed for the Federation war machine. He knew little about the process that created them. The program was highly classified, but he was glad to make use of the end product. "30 seconds to intercept, Commander." Travis fixed his attention on the view screen. The blinking icon that was the Liberator inched ever closer to the center of his web.
"Arm all weapons."
The hum of the plasma bolt launchers powering up filled the command deck. "Weapons armed."
"Battle stations."
As the red light illuminated the bridge, Travis eagerly watched the scene playing out on the main screen. He had split the squadron into three pairs, each positioned alongside asteroids to increase the chance of surprise when they swooped in to attack from different trajectories once the Liberator was in position. He hadn't been 100% confident that the stealth technology was truly invisible to Liberator's sensors, and he was taking no chances. This way, even if Blake ran, they should score a few hits, and maybe, just maybe, they would cripple the Liberator.
15 seconds to intercept. All weapons fully charged."
Travis was a patient man, but he sat forward, poised on the edge of his seat. The last seconds seemed to take an eternity to tick by. His good hand hovered over the array of buttons on the arm of his chair. He could take control of any aspect of the ship with a flick of a switch and at a moment's notice. 5 seconds. His mind was focused, his heart was steady, and he waited for the moment.
"One.
Open fire!"
"Plasma bolts launched and running," said the mutoid gunner. Travis leaned back in his chair and a grin crossed his lips.
"I have you now, Blake."
New markers indicating the trajectory of the plasma bolts appeared on the viewscreen. All six pursuit ships had fired, and their target had not moved. If Blake didn't respond, Liberator would be utterly destroyed. Travis, however, was banking on him making a move. His goal wasn't to annihilate the ship, but to cripple and board her.
"Liberator has not raised its force walls or cleared its neutron blasters for firing."
"Come on, Blake."
Was his trap too perfect? Blake surely should be reacting to the plasma bolts. They would be visible on his detectors by now.
"Impact in 10 seconds.
Had he won? He shook the thought from his head. Blake was going to react. He had to. Fate wouldn't be so cruel to grant him victory, but deny him the opportunity of seeing Blake's corpse. Without a body, would he truly be dead? Travis had to know. He had to make sure.
"Make your move, Blake."
"The Liberator has activated its force wall and is powering up its main drive."
"Finally."
On the screen, the blinking icon that represented the ship began to move.
"He's going to run."
Travis took a calming breath. The plan was still intact. Liberator couldn't possibly outmaneuver every plasma bolt. One or two would strike, and even with the force wall up, she would sustain damage. That should be enough to slow her down, allowing his pursuit ships to close in for the kill.
"Plasma bolt has hit, true."
The lack of excitement in the mutoid's voice was somewhat frustrating.
"A second bolt has impacted with the target. The Liberator has sustained minimal damage."
Travis knew the force walls of Liberator could withstand several plasma bolt impacts, but he had expected more.
"A third bolt has scored a glancing hit, but the remaining bolts will miss."
"Damage?"
"Unknown. Liberator is moving off."
"Damn!"
Blake couldn't be allowed to escape. The space commander pressed a button to open the command communication channel.
"All ships, prepare to chase."
Travis watched as the Liberator icon blinked, inch by inch, out of the central crosshair. If Blake was running, why was the Liberator moving so slowly? It was capable of speeds his pursuit ships could never match. Even at time distort 10, they would be left for space dust.
"Status update on the enemy vessel."
"The Liberator's main drive appears to be offline."
"Yes."
The flat delivery contrasted sharply with the Space Commander's excitement as he punched the air with joy.
The first phase of his plan was a success, and now his pursuit ships could move in and disable the Liberator. However, even wounded, the ship was still powerful, and he expected Blake to fight back.
All ships, prepare for phase two.
As expected, the Liberator moved towards his position.
Perfect. They'll confront me head on.
Amigas 3 and 4, come up on Liberator's stern. Amigas 5 and 6, begin your assault on her flank.
The pieces on the board began to move as the game played out on the display. These screens were necessary for a space battle where you could never see your adversary clearly with the naked eye. At a distance of 100 spatials, an observer would see the Liberator as a moving star, making the death you gave its crew feel impersonal. Travis hated that aspect of war. He preferred to deliver the coup de grace personally. Now, Liberator was coming close enough for a plasma bolt to rip through her force walls and breach her hull. He would no longer be dependent on the screen. He could stare directly into his enemy's eyes as their lives faded away.
Target is now 100 spatials and closing. Enemy craft moving at sub-time distort speed.
Keep her steady. Don't fire until she's within 10 spatials.
Target craft is increasing speed.
Transfer firing controls to my position.
He needed to make the kill himself.
The Liberator's speed is still increasing. Advise evasive action, sir.
Stay on target!
Travis knew what Blake was intending to do. He was going to try and ram his pursuit ship, or at least get them to move out of the way.
Enemy craft now at 10 spatials.
Bye, Blake.
As Travis pressed the firing control button, he could taste victory. The bolts were away and running, and in a few seconds they would strike.
Sir, the Liberator is taking evasive action.
Travis smiled. He knew Blake would flinch.
The Liberator has cleared her neutron blasters for firing. Her weapons are trained on Omega-2.
Omega-2, take evasive action.
The Liberator has fired, sir.
Travis's volley of plasma bolts sailed harmlessly past the enemy vessel. On screen, he watched the icon for Omega-2 as it attempted an evasive maneuver. He screwed his eye against the sudden flare. When he opened it, the marker had vanished. The ship had no defense against the Liberator's firepower, and his gut wrenched at the loss.
Prepare to fire a second volley.
Sir, at this range, we would be caught in the blast.
That's an order!
Enemy ship still on a collision
course.
Take
evasive action! Take evasive action!
A violent jolt threw him from his chair onto the metal deck. Dazed, he could hear the sound of electrical equipment sparking, and the smell of smoke filled his nostrils. Travis shook his head and slowly raised himself into a sitting position, the flickering orange light of fire coming into sharp focus as he did so. He checked himself over. As far as he could tell, he was uninjured. He certainly felt no pain, only his pride had been bruised. The command deck, however, was a mess. Wires and tubes hung down from the ceiling. Various control panels were ablaze, and the viz screen displayed only static. They were lucky that pursuit ships were built to withstand such impacts, especially the command deck, which was highly reinforced. Well, perhaps not all were lucky. His gaze fell on the mutoid gunner, slumped in its chair, face bloodied, eyes staring lifelessly. Nearby on the floor, the mutoid navigator coughed and stirred.
Status.
Functional, Commander.
Then take your station.
Travis brushed the rubble from his command chair and sat down.
Damage report?
The Liberator's neutron blasters scored a glancing blow.
One thing to be thankful for, a direct hit at such close range would have torn the ship apart.
Damage sustained to our outer hull and armor plates. One plasma bolt launcher is offline, and the main gunnery console destroyed. Navigation and main drive systems still functional.
Good.
Travis could still salvage the situation.
Begin pursuit.
Sir, we are low on power, and a fault is causing a power drain.
So?
With the power drain, we will not be able to pursue Liberator for long.
Begin pursuit.
Travis pulled the commander's vidscreen up from the side of his chair. It was usually kept in reserve,
but some officers preferred to use them, especially in battle. He'd never seen the need until now. On the small screen, the Liberator was still visible. Travis knew that each use of her neutron blasters drained the ship's power reserves, and without the main drive, the Liberator could only limp away. The enemy has positioned itself behind an asteroid.
So Blake's toying with me.
All ships, prepare to assault the asteroid.
He watched on the small screen as the friendly icons started to close in. The Liberator icon was no longer clearly visible, but he knew exactly where she was. Blake was using the asteroid as a shield. Travis considered this a foolish move, because he could use the combined firepower of the four undamaged pursuit ships to obliterate it. That would expose the Liberator and make her vulnerable.
Sir, I detect heavy neutron flux energy. Liberator is firing.
She can't be firing at me.
And then the truth dawned.
Sir, fragments from the asteroid have been blasted in our direction.
Prepare to chase!
There was an impact and the ship began to lurch. A piece of scattered asteroid had struck the hull, and it was followed by a second, then a third. The pursuit ships were now caught in the debris field. Blake had tricked him and lured them into a trap.
You are under pressure.
The Space Commander stared down at the small screen, willing a different outcome, but forced to watch helplessly as his quarry moved inexorably away.
You are under pressure.
Soon the Liberator would be out of detector range. Blake had escaped once more, and no doubt was savoring his victory.
You are under pressure.
He pulled his voice recorder off his belt.
Space Commander Travis, reporting to Supreme Commander Servalon. Seek and locate mission against the Liberator. Unsuccessful. One pursuit ship destroyed, another disabled. Squadron likely to have received superficial damage from asteroid debris strikes. The rebel ship was fired upon with minimal effect and still poses a threat to Federation security. I will upload a full battle computer log of the encounter for analysis.
He lowered the voice recorder and stared at the body of the dead mutoid still sprawled in its chair. He felt again the gut wrench of defeat as his anger roiled deep inside.
One day, Blake, one day. One day I will win, and I will see you dead at my feet.